Proverbs 11:30. If you have a copy of God's Word, please meet me in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. And we're going to get our central theme from verse 30. This month we've been talking about winning souls or evangelism, the importance of it. And I think I know through definition of Scripture, Proverbs 11 gives us the benefits of evangelism. In Proverbs 11:30, the Bible reads, matter of fact, let me get a reader.
The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise.
The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. Those fruits come from the life of the one who is a soul winner for Jesus, or the one who is righteous in the sight of God. It's the fruit or our actions, the lives that we live. It's funny how we are to be the tree that brings forth fruit, but that fruit in itself will be a tree unto others. What are the benefits of being an evangelist, or the benefits of evangelism? Well, you bring light, or you bring life to the very room, your very community, your very class, your very job, your very home. One who is a soul winner, one who is an evangelist, one who is righteous in the sight of God, is one who brings light, one who brings life to the situation. I believe it's Matthew 5:16, where it lets us know we are the salt. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And being that salt and being that light, we know that salt can preserve. Salt can flavor. We know that light shines, it illuminates, it allows people to see. One of the greatest benefits, and I'm finding this through Scripture and through life experience, one of the greatest benefits is not just bearing fruit that is a tree of life, but it's in order for a tree to grow and provide nutrients for another tree, it has to itself be firm, be planted, be rooted. In a sense, the more you study to win souls, the more you draw yourself closer to God, the deeper you grow your roots. James 4 would say, draw near unto God, and he'll draw near unto you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. What am I saying? One of the biggest excuses I saw coming up, and I would say, why aren't you inviting your friends? Why aren't you telling people about the Lord? One of the biggest excuses I always heard, and even in my own life, well, I just don't know enough. The Bible clearly tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. That word ashamed can be translated ignorant. It will be the same in Romans 1:16 when Paul says, well, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ignorant of the gospel of Christ. I know what it is, and I know what it has the power to do. If you truly knew or believe what the gospel has the power to do, you wouldn't be ashamed to use it. If you was to see a little girl or a little boy fall down a well, and you knew you couldn't get to him on your own merits, would you just leave and say, well, I hope someone comes along and find them? Or would you do everything you possibly could? Or would you call for help? Would you run to the nearest neighbor banging on the door? Would you get as high as you could to find a cell phone signal so you could call for 911? If you do all that to save a physical soul, what about someone's soul spiritually? It's the same sense. So in the sense of I'm studying so that I'm not ignorant, the more that I study, the more I know. The more blessed my life will be, and the more blessed my life will be, the more I can be a blessing to someone else. I used to use the example, and when I taught the younger kids, I would cut off the lights, and I would say, now use the flashlight on your cell phone, and I say, be a light and guide someone to the door. Well, here's the thing, if you have the light, if you're the light of the world, you're using your light, and you're guiding someone out of the darkness, guess what you have to be able to do yourself? See, in order for you to guide someone, to lead someone, you have to know where you're going. So we study so that we're not ignorant. We study so that we're not ashamed. But watch this. The more you study to help someone else, the more knowledge you know, and the more you're better able to fight off the wiles and temptations of the devil. It's, in fact, it's studying with people. I'm not a big knower of the book of Revelations. That's one of the books I seem to struggle with, but because I keep running into contact with others who struggle with it, it's pushed me more and deeper into studying it. And it's helpful to me because now I can say, you know, twice in the beginning and twice at the end of the book of Revelations, Revelations 1, 1 through 3, Revelations 22, 6 and 10, lets us know that these things shall shortly come to pass. I couldn't quote that or know that had not people come to me and asked me for help. But it's in my studying to help someone else that now I know what I need to know to better apply the word of God. And let's look at that last part before time escapes us. It says, the fruit of the righteousness is the tree of life. That's the benefits of soul winning. And he who wins souls is wise. I think about going to Memphis School of Preaching. And I went, it was a 4-year program crammed into 2 years. So I have the equivalence of a bachelor's. Not that I have it, but I have the equivalence of it. And I think about how many years I wasted in the secular world, in secular education. And I won't say wasted. It was some benefit to it. But let's say I didn't go to Memphis. I didn't want to study the Bible. I just wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer. And nothing's wrong with that. An engineer, a scientist. And I just spent years and years, 4, 6, 8, 10 years of my life just going to school so I could get all of these degrees and show the world how smart I am. Not saying that that's the motivation behind why people go to school, but it's nice to be able to walk into an office and see many various degrees, many trophies, and say, look what I've accomplished, look what I've done. But in the sight of God, what is it? It's vanity. All that knowledge, it means nothing. It means nothing. But he who wins soul is wise in whose sight? That means I don't have to go a day of college if I don't want to. And I could still be considered wise in God's eyes. And I love this. Usually when we think of wisdom, we think of older people. But in Proverbs, there's no age. God didn't put an age limit on it. That means I could be 12, I could be 13, I could be 18, I could be 20, I could be in my 30s and still be considered wise if I'm trying to win souls for Christ. That word win is in the Hebrew, and I can't pronounce it, so I'm not even going to attempt to, but it denotes from the definition to capture, a catcher. In other words, I'm trying to catch people. And then it says, he who wins soul. Mike and I just went over a study between the difference of a spirit and a soul. And a soul is the mind, the heart, the emotions, the intellect. You look in Genesis 2:27, God breathed into Adam the intellect. He who wins captures soul, intellect. How do I be a soul winner? I have to capture the intellect of man. I have to capture the mind of a man. How do I go about doing that, Brother Hatchett? There is no set way. Bible doesn't give us a set way. There are many various ways to be soul winners for Christ, to evangelize. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, I become Jew, to the Greek, I become Greek. In other words, Paul, whatever I need to become to win a soul, that's what I become. If people ask me, Brother Hatchett, what are your hobbies? I say, people. What do you mean? People, those are my hobbies because I like to study what makes people tick, what makes people happy, what keeps people motivated, what keeps them going. Once I find out what you like, I'll study it a little bit, try to see if I know a little bit about it, because that's how I'm going to try to meet you. I remember being in high school, and some of you may still see this, if you're in college or if you're in high school, there are different lunch tables. And at each table, there are different groups. You have the jocks, you have the emos, you have the what they call the geeks or the nerds, you have the cheer squad, and then you got that one group that just sits around and talk about every other group. Well, see, I know because I was in every group. I like to eat. That's always been my thing. And what I've learned is if you go to each group, someone in that group's not going to eat their lunch. And so I would go to each group and find that one girl. It was usually a girl trying to watch her weight. And she would always give me her milk or her cookies or her food. That was my purpose behind it. But I learned something. Each group is different. So when I would go to the football team at that group, I had to pretend I knew sports. I didn't play sports. I just look like I do. Sorry. Okay, I would go to the geek table, the smart table, and they'd be trading cards. They played Yu-Gi-Oh. I loved Yu-Gi-Oh. Loved Pokemon. So I would pretend I knew the cards. Just again, I'm there for something different. But whatever it is that table talked about, that's who I was when I sat at that table. Now, what if I was doing that same thing, but instead of trying to win lunch, I was trying to win souls? We could do the same. I'm not telling you to go out and get involved in everything, but know a little bit about everything so that you can reach any and everyone. He that winneth souls is wise. One of the greatest exercises of wisdom is to win souls for Jesus. Matthew 19, 18 through 20, Jesus would give the great commission. He would say, go ye into all the world. There's a book called Go Ye Means Go Me. And I was studying that book and getting ready for the Devo. And I read a phrase that I just wanted to read out. Because you may be thinking, well, what difference would it make if I'm preaching to the multitudes and no one hears me? See this quote. It's in page 4 of Go Ye Means Go Me. It says, someone has said anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but no one can count the apples in a seed. In other words, just the planting of one seed, you have no idea the limitless potential that could grow. Not from you baptizing someone, not from you setting up the Bible study, but simply just from you sowing the seed, talking about the Lord, talking about the Bible, asking that question, giving that invitation. We have a gospel meeting coming up. How many people are you willing to invite? We have cards that have just been ordered that we could pass out. How many cards are you willing to give out? Plant that seed. I'll end with this. And this is an example from my life. There's a lady by the name of Christine Waller. A lot of you don't know who that is. Christine Waller is the mother of the man who taught me the gospel, Eddie William Waller. Christine Waller was taught the gospel. When she learned the gospel, she took it home and taught her husband. He did not obey the gospel, but her 9 kids did. Each of her 9 kids had children of their own. My pops alone had 3 kids. Each of his 3 kids had 3 kids of their own. And all of them are members of the Lord's church today. In Greentown Heights Church of Christ in Manchester, Georgia, Christine Waller, one lady, is responsible for over 100 members of the Church of Christ today. She's still alive because one man took the gospel to one woman, sowed the seed. The potential is limitless if we just plant that seed. If you want to be a soul winner for Christ, in order to capture souls, the first soul that needs to be captured is yours. If you're not a child of God, I plead with you this evening. Once you hear God's word, Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Hebrews 11:6. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess that Jesus Christ is who the Bible declares him to be, Matthew 10:32-33. Once you be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Rising and walking in the newness of life, Romans 6:4. And be faithful unto death, Revelations 2:10. Once you do that tonight, sweet together, well, will we sing? Together stand and sing.